All right, we are going to continue in our series on apostasy. And today, the topic that I would like to give is apostasy from true Jesus to another Jesus. Apostasy from true Jesus to another Jesus. And if you missed the last time, you can get the tape from Chris. We were talking about apostasy from faith to feelings, okay, and how people go according to their feelings instead according to faith. So today, apostasy from true Jesus to another Jesus. Well, when a Hollywood celebrity dies, the world mourns as a star has fallen. But when a Hollywood celebrity dies, the world mourns as a star has fallen. But when Jesus was brought to Pilate, the world cried and said, "Crucify him, crucify him." But today the world has nothing against Jesus. The world have painted a picture of Jesus who is very handsome. You know, blonde hair, long hair, very good looking, handsome. Looks very mellow type, and this type of Jesus, they say, this Jesus will not do any harm for anybody, he will not judge anybody, and he will love everybody no matter what they do. But dear friends, this is not the Jesus of the Bible. This is another Jesus. The world is embracing politically and a savvy worldly Jesus, but this is not the historical, biblical Jesus. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting from verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, starting from verse 3. Apostle Paul is saying here, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you receive, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." Here, the Bible is very clear that there are people who will not put up with the true Jesus. But they will put up with another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Now, Jesus is the center of the Bible. And Jesus, without Jesus, there is no gospel. So, if you take Jesus out, there's another gospel and another spirit. Now, Satan is the architect of bringing another Jesus. He, as Paul said, how the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning. In the same way, Satan is the architect of bringing another Jesus. And what is his intention? To deceive people. Deceive people and to lead them astray, away from the true Jesus. So there is another Jesus. Not the true Jesus of Christ. The famous picture of Jesus that many of you have seen, where the world has painted, is not the real Jesus. That's not how real Jesus will look like. And of course, if you see the world is making movies, Hollywood movies. As a Hollywood actor, Jesus never looks like that. The true Jesus is not handsome at all. He is not good looking at all. In Isaiah chapter 53 verse 2 says, here, "For he grew up before him like a tender plant," or some of your Bibles might say a young plant. and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and with no beauty that we should desire him. Now, he grew up out of dry ground, okay? And dry ground, that means, what has dry ground? Well, the picture that I see that Jesus grew up out of, Isaiah was written about 800 years before Jesus was ever born. But he's talking about Jesus. This is a prophecy. He grew up, came from a dry ground. Christ was not born in a famous city. He was not born in a palace. But he was born in a small town, Bethlehem. He was not born to a king, but he was born to very poor parents. Not to wealthy parents, but to poor parents. And also, he was born in a manger. He came from a dry ground. What can come out of a dry ground? Nothing. Jesus came from a very poor family. In a manger he was born. And he had no form or majesty. His outward appearance, he was not attractive at all. He was not handsome. He didn't have the Hollywood beauty. He was not the captivating Jesus that you see on the pictures. When you look at him outwardly, no one will be attracted to him. But it was the inner beauty of Christ that counted, the spiritual beauty where the world cannot see. The world always looks at outside beauty. The world always sees the fleshly, the outward, and they go after that. See, the world will not go after true Jesus because they don't see the inner beauty of Jesus. And we are talking of another Jesus here. God is spirit. And God cannot be painted. Jesus is God. Remember the Jews when Moses was away for a long time. What did they do? They made a golden calf. Because they tried to make a God in physical form. Moses was getting laid. Where is this Moses who led us from Egypt and who brought us over here? What happened to him? And Moses' own brother, Aaron, was one of the leaders. Listened to the people, and they wanted God. And their God, they made a God in a physical form, which kindled God's anger. God of the Bible have no form. Because Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 15 says, God told Abraham in Deuteronomy 4:15, therefore, watch yourself very carefully, since you saw no form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. Be aware, lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourself in the form of any figure, likeness of male or female. So here, what God is saying here, to Moses, you didn't see my form. Because you didn't see my form, God is telling Moses not to make any kind of figure in the likeness of what? Of a male or female. God doesn't want people to worship a statue, an image. It's prohibited. It's a sin. And God doesn't want people to worship a picture, a painting. John Calvin said there is no such thing as an innocent religious image. St. Augustine said, thus they erred who sought Christ and his apostles not in the sacred writings, but on painted walls. Now let us see a picture of the heavenly Jesus. Jesus of the Bible that is going to come and judge the world. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 1 verse 14 to 17, we see a picture of heavenly Jesus. Alright? Revelation 1:14, verse 1:14 to 17. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Then verse 17 says, Apostle John says here, when I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. That's the true Jesus. That's the heavenly Jesus. That's the Jesus that is going to come to judge the world. Jesus of the Bible will not compromise with sin. People who were making a business during the time of Jesus in the church, Jesus gave them a beating. That's the true Jesus. And we see a small wrath of God on earth here. In Matthew 21:12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and brought in the temple, and he overturned the temples of the money changers and the seats, those who sold pigeons. And we see a small wrath of God here on earth. Jesus of the Bible is not the worldly Jesus. The worldly Jesus looks so mellow. You know, he will take anything. He will not blame anybody. He looks so innocent that he will just give bear hugs to everybody and winks everybody's sins. But the Jesus of the Bible, he used strong language to those religious leaders who did not believe him. And Jesus told the Jews, John 8:44, he said, "You are of the father, you of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do." Basically what Jesus is saying is, your father is Satan. Your father is the devil. And also Jesus called these religious leaders who did not believe in him, what did he call them? Snakes, brood of vipers, hypocrites, whitewashed tombs. He called Herod a fox because he was so cunning. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus of the Bible is God Almighty who came in flesh. God Almighty. God Almighty. He clothed in human flesh. God became a man. The incarnation. This is a mystery. Now we cannot understand how God became a man. We need to understand the Bible says that God, there's only one God. And the Bible says we need to understand the God of the Bible is one. That means we believe in a monotheism, that means in one God. Okay, there's one God. In Isaiah chapter 45 verse 5. Isaiah 45 verse 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Here, the worldly Jesus, some of these people who believe in worldly Jesus, they believe, well, you can go to heaven in different ways. It doesn't matter whom you believe. You can believe in Jesus or Krishna or Allah or Buddha or Muhammad or anybody. They all say something good, so, you know, you can go to heaven. That's not the God of the Bible. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except through me. And that's in the Bible. There's only one God. But the Bible talks about gods, right? G-O-D-S. So the Bible talks about gods. And what do you mean when the Bible talks about gods? Are they really gods? No. When the Bible talks about gods, they are man-made idols. The Hindus believes in great many gods. The Mormons believes in many gods. That means they are not monotheists, they are polytheists. They have a plurality of gods. But to us, there is only one God. Where does that say? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 8, 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, verse 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we are in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, of whom are all things, and we by him. Now, Jesus is a God. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. This is the God of the Bible, that Jesus is, there's only one God in the Bible, and Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So in the Old Testament, it says here, I am the first and I am the last. Okay, that means I am the beginning and I am the last. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. Okay, and beside me, there is no God. So God is saying in the Old Testament, there is only one God and I am the first and I am the last and there is no other God beside me. Right? In Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, saying the same thing. I am the first and I am the last. The beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, that means present tense, God is present, right? Present tense. And which was? What means? What do you mean? Past tense. Okay, somebody who lived before, right? Who is that? Jesus Christ, right? And which is to come? Who is? That means who is coming? The Lord Jesus, who is going to come. There it says the Almighty. That means God. Jesus is claiming to be God here, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And in the Isaiah, in the Old Testament, God is saying, I am the Alpha, I am the beginning and the end. You cannot have two people claiming I am the Alpha and the Omega, right? It's only one. Jesus is God. And also Revelation 1:17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Exactly the same thing what you see in the book of Isaiah. Jesus told the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders of his day, that they would die of their sins if they did not believe that he was who he claimed to be. And if you don't believe that Jesus is not God in flesh, you're going to die in your sins. That's exactly what Jesus said. John chapter 8, 24. He said, I therefore say unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. You shall die in your sins. Jesus is God in the Bible. There are so many scriptures, but I'm going to go through just a little bit. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here, the Word is called God. What do you mean by the Word? It means, is it a book? Is God a book? Huh? Is God a newspaper? Is God a novel? What do you mean by the Word? He's called the Word? The Word means God is a person. Okay? Why is he called the Word? That means Jesus is the expression of God to mankind. He communicates to mankind by the Word. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's through Jesus. That's mediator is Jesus Christ. He's the one who communicates to man. Alright? John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that's the true Jesus. Now, let us see the other Jesus. For the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is not God in flesh. They believe Michael the great prince is none other than Jesus Christ himself. That's what they say. They say that means they are saying Jesus is an angel. He's not God. The Latter-day Saints or the Mormons, they say that Lucifer, the son of the morning, is our elder brother and the brother of Jesus Christ. What a blasphemy is that? To say that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, or Jesus is the brother of Satan. Isn't that blasphemy? And also, the Mormons believe that Jesus got married at Cana and had many wives, Martha, Mary, and others, who also had many children. And also, the Mormons believe that God the Father came, knocked on the house of Mary, and had sex with Mary. God the Father had sex with Mary, and that's how Jesus was born. Oh, if you talk about demonic religions, the Mormonism is one of the most demonic religions you can ever find. And it is blasphemy. And you know, God is going to bring judgment to those people who believe in that. Iglesia Ni Cristo, founded by Felix Manalo in the Philippines, say, we now affirm that John 1:1 does not call Jesus Christ God. Christian Science founder Mary Baker Eddy says, Jesus Christ is not God, as Jesus himself declared, but he is the Son of God. Way International founder Paul Reville, he said, Jesus Christ is not God. The Unification Church founder Sun Myung Moon, he said, it is a great error to think Jesus was God himself. Jesus is no different from any other man. Unity School of Christianity founder Charles Fillmore says most of our religious beliefs are based on erroneous idea that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Well, there is another Jesus. There is another Jesus. And these people don't believe in the true biblical Jesus. Now, Jesus is not only God, Jesus is also the Savior. In Isaiah 43:3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Then Isaiah 43:11 says, I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. God is saying, He is the only God. And beside Him, there is no other Savior. There is only one Savior, and that is God. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You cannot have two Saviors. Have only one. And Christ is a Savior. Christ became, God became a man, and He is a Savior. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of what? Of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here, Titus 2:13 talks about this great, we are waiting for the blessed appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are the old cults and the new cults. Every single day, a cult is born. There are sheep who comes in wolves' clothing, denying the true Jesus of the Bible. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, Apostle Paul said, for 3 years, with tears in his eyes, he told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Paul is saying these grievous wolves will not come from outside, but they will come with inside the church. They will say that they are Christians. They will say, I believe Jesus. I have a Bible. Ah. And they look like a sheep. But inside, they are wolves. Then you might say, oh, those cults, we have nothing to do with them. What about the people who say, well, they are really Christians? And some of them are, there is a movement that is called the faith movement. The faith movement is growing like wildfire. They believe that Jesus was rich. And the disciples were very rich. And then they are also identified as name it and claim it. That you can name anything you want. You can name a Cadillac or a Mercedes, and you can claim it. God will give it to you. Because God is a rich God. And you deserve it because you are His child. That's the doctrine they teach. The prosperity doctrine. That means you got to be rich if you're a Christian. And you got to be positive in everything. What you say. And if you're poor, that means you're living in sin. And if you're sick, there's some kind of sin in you. That's why you're sick. And this is the gospel that is spreading all over. Now the word faith teachings, the founder of this is E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon, who lived in 1867 to 1948. He was a New England evangelical Bible teacher, a schoolmaster, and a great writer. He authored about 18 books. And he's the founder of his faith theology. And now, he said in his books, what I confess, I possess. Now, during his time, it was not that popular. But the one who made it popular is none other than Kenneth Hagin. Okay, Kenneth Hagin. And he lived in 1917 to 2003 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Kenneth Hagin borrowed Kenyon's writings, his teachings, and used it in our modern day society. Because in the modern day society, we are living in a modern day society where there is more communication, television. So it spread through TV. And Hagin is often referred as the father of the modern faith movement. When Hagin started to teach this, he taught on television, there were other people who saw this and they loved it. And, of course, they were Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, Benny Hinn. Then, of course, Paul Crouch of Trinity Broadcasting Network. Oh, he called Kenneth Hagin as the daddy. And because he's the father of this gospel, of course, Trinity Broadcasting Network, with their satellites and everything what they have, it went all over the world, this teaching. And this teaching is Pentecostal in origin. Charismatic churches, most Pentecostal churches and charismatic churches, they believe this. Now, today, of course, there were men like John Avanzini, Marilyn Hickey, Oral Roberts, R.W. Schambach, Robert Schuller, Robert Tilton, Maurice Cirillo, Rodney Howard Brown, Joyce Meyer, Peter Popoff, and many others who taught this doctrine. Now today, there's another generation who have come, and their church is also growing like wildfire, and their names is like John Bivey, Marcus Bishop, Punita Bynum, Kim Clements, Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, Larry Hutch, T.D. Jakes, Bishop Eddy, L. Long, Clarence McClendon, Miles Monroe, Steve Muncy, Mike Murdoch, Joel Osteen, Rod Parsley, Carl Strader, Paula White, Ed Young, and many others. They're on TV. Benny Hinn said in on Trinity Broadcasting Network on the 15th of December 1990, this is what he said, and I'm going to quote. Jesus knew the only way he would stop Satan is by becoming one nature with him. What he said, Jesus became one nature with Satan. What a blasphemy. Now, you can make money. Not the true Jesus of the Bible, but the other Jesus. You can make money. Satan is very clever presenting a different Jesus to the world. That world would love it. It pleases to the flesh. This is the false Jesus, and this is the false Christianity. It has the appearing of Christianity, outward of Christianity. Another Jesus, but not the biblical Jesus. This false Christianity, actually, false Christianity started even when the apostles were there. And there were antichrists during that time. This false Christianity, when it went to Athens, it became a philosophy. When it went to Rome, it became an organization, Roman Catholicism, big organization. When it went to Europe, it became a culture. But when it came to America, it became a business. Make money. This is a country, you can make money. All the cults come here. Why? They make money here. Someone said, look up the dead birds in the sky. And many are looking up, and some are saying, we can't see any dead birds in the sky. Yeah, you cannot see dead birds in the sky. There are no dead birds flying in the sky. But how many people, the point is, how many people are gullible that they will believe anything that looks good, sounds good, because they are not reading and studying the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard. It is the measure where everybody is judged according to the Word of God. Under the Old Testament, God could not trust His people to live among other people. Knowing why? Knowing that God knew that they may fall into temptations of this world, as they will easily get conformed to the other nations, their ungodly ways. So all nations to be driven out from Canaan. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24. Leviticus 18, 24. And it says here, Leviticus 18, 24. Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done, who were before you, and thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomits you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out of the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinance, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourself by them. I am the Lord your God. God wants his people to be separate. That means to be holy. Not to be conformed to the world. Not to, when the world is crying, when the world is mourning, we don't mourn. We mourn only for what is happening here in what the Bible says. We mourn because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The world knows the false Jesus, but not the true Jesus of the Bible. In John chapter 17, verse 25, Jesus said, very rightly, this is what he said, John 17, 25. And he said, O righteous Father, the world had not known thee. The world has not known thee. But I have known thee, and these have known thou hast sent me. What Jesus is saying here, the world doesn't know you, but I know you. And these, the true disciples, the true Christians, they know you. Only the true Christians who are born again, who are living a holy Christian life, who are obedient to God's word and follow Him, they know the true Jesus. Others are deceived by a false Jesus. Now, let's apply this to our own hearts so it will hit home. My question to you today is, you are saying, many of you might say, well, I agree with everything what you say. Then my question to you today is, which Jesus do you worship? Jesus of the world or the historical biblical Jesus of the Bible? If you say you worship the historical Jesus of the Bible, my question is, do you know the biblical Jesus? Do you know him? You may say, yes, I know him. If I ask you, do you know your pastor? Well, some of you might say, yes, I see him on every Sunday. But have you met him? Have you had any kind of fellowship with your pastor? Then some of you might say, yes, I have met him, but I have not had fellowship with him, nor any friendship with him, or any relationship with him. In the same way, many will say, yes, we know him. We know Jesus. The question is, do you have fellowship with Jesus? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. What John is saying here, we have seen and heard, and we are telling you, so you will have this fellowship with us, and our fellowship is what? With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So you can also have that fellowship. You may even say, well, yes, I have fellowship with Him. I have fellowship with Jesus. Then if you have fellowship with Jesus, then can you have fellowship with an outsider that you don't know? No. But you can have a true fellowship with a person that you know, right? You can, like a husband and wife. They have fellowship with one another. Why? Why do they have fellowship with one another? Why do they eat together? Why do they talk together? You know, they live in the same house, same bedroom, and so forth like that. Why? They have fellowship all the time with one another. Because they love one another. That's how you fellowship. That's why we have fellowship. In the same way, the question is, do you love Jesus? And if you say you have fellowship with Him, my next question is, do you love Him? Because you cannot have fellowship with Him if you don't love Him. Jesus said, John chapter 5, verse 42, I'm giving everything, all my answers are scriptural, okay? So it's not my own opinions here, I'm giving scripture. Jesus said in John 5:42, this is what He said, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Jesus said, I know you, but you don't have the love of God in you. Many people say, yes, we love God. Yes, we know Him. But Jesus said, yeah, I know that, but you don't have the love of God in you. Many will say they love Jesus. If you love Him, that's the next question. You might say, oh, I love Him. If you love Him, do you obey Him? That's the next question. Do you obey Him? Jesus said, John 14, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That is fellowship. That is fellowship. That means if anyone loves me, he will obey my word. He will keep my word. And he will go not according to his feelings, his emotions, and you know what everybody else says, and you know, he's according to his opinions, or maybe according to the majority. People follow the crowd and say, well, everybody is following the crowd, let me follow through. Let me follow too. No. But the Word of God, and do you love the Word, and do you obey the Word, what the Word is saying? Then Jesus said, if you really obey what I say, if you submit to this Word, this is the will of God, not your feelings, not your opinions, not what somebody, your friend says or your best friend says. No. If whatever they say is contradict to the Word of God, which one you believe? Even your husband or your friend, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your child, or maybe your loved ones or best friends or whoever says something that is contrary to the Word of God, which one you believe? You have to believe the Word of God. That is the truth. That is truly loving Jesus Christ. Now, if 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be an anathema, meaning accursed. Oh Lord, come. That means if anybody doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't obey Him, who doesn't follow Him, let him be accursed. That means God's curse is going to fall upon that person. That's where Jesus said what? You cursed ones, let them depart to the lake of fire. There will be gnashing of teeth and burning in the lake of fire. If you don't love Jesus, how can you be in heaven with Him forever? If you don't love Him now, how can you be in heaven with Him? Loving Jesus is to obey Him. And if you say you are obeying Him, my next question is, then if you are living in sin, contrary to what the Word of God says, then you are not obeying Him. You are disobedient. And if you are living in sin, contrary to the Word of God says, then you are not having fellowship with Him. You cannot have If Jesus, let me give you a good picture here. If Jesus comes in reality and says, I'm coming to your house right now, are you going to be happy, joyous, like Mary and Martha, and get excited, let's cook the best food, let's sit at his feet, and let Jesus go everywhere in my house and check everything? Or you're going to, oh no, I don't want Jesus to come. Not today. I'm not ready. You're scared. You don't have shared fellowship with Jesus then. You have another Jesus. Because you have fear, because you're talking now the biblical Jesus is coming. Oh, if the other Jesus comes, the worldly Jesus, maybe you have a Jesus that, maybe it's not the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses, or it's not the Jesus of the Mormons, it's not the Jesus of the faith movement. Maybe you have your own Jesus, where you have made up, where you will think, now, Jesus, this is what I think he believes in. And you have made up your own Jesus, according to your own standard, not according to the standard of the Bible. You have made your own Jesus according to your standard, and you are looking for that Jesus. But when the biblical Jesus, the true Jesus, he's the one we are to love, and he's the one that we, as true Christians, every single day, we are waiting for his return. The true Christians that are, this world is a filth to the true Christians. This world is not our heaven. In this world, true Christians are in pain because they have crucified this world. They have crucified this flesh, and they have denied their flesh, and they are walking in the narrow road. And walking in the narrow road is not easy. You got to agonize. Those people are really looking for the Lord to come and deliver from this filth so they can be with the Lord forever in heaven. But the people who are very comfortable, enjoying all the pleasures and the glories and everything, I don't want Jesus to come. Oh man, I will lose everything here. Jesus said, if you are going to gain the whole world, if you are going to find life, you will lose it. And what profit a man if he gains the whole world, but yet loses his soul? First John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John is saying, if you say that you have fellowship with him, but if you are living in sin, living according to your flesh, that is sin. Living according to your way, not according to the word of God, that is sin. And you say that you have fellowship with him, John is saying, you are a liar. And because you are not practicing the truth. The fallen man, this flesh, is very deceitful. And you know what? We can deceive ourselves. The way I see, there are two people that you cannot deceive. One is your doctor. When you go to a doctor, a lot of times we got to tell, well, it's all right, I'm okay, you don't tell the truth. And if you don't really tell the truth to a doctor, you can die. In the same way, I'm talking a medical doctor. And if you compromise, God knows everything, you cannot deceive God. And you may be able to deceive yourself. That's true. We compromise ourselves a lot of times. It's easy to deceive yourself. And you can deceive a lot of people. But you cannot deceive God. One thing. John chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And I am the good shepherd. I know them. They will hear me. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they will hear me. That means we know Jesus. The person who knows Jesus, they will hear Jesus and they will follow Jesus. They will be obedient to Jesus. And that's the biblical Jesus. So what we saw here is, there is another Jesus. And that's not the Jesus of the Bible. As either the worldly Jesus, or the Jesus of the cults, or the Jesus that you have made, according to your standard. This, we got to believe and trust our souls, our hearts, in the biblical true Jesus. And He is the one who is going to come. And He is the one that can have eternal, can give you eternal life. And He is the one that we can run into and ask forgiveness for our sins. And that mourn for our sins. That's the true biblical Jesus. And He is the one who is going to come and judge the world. Let's pray.